monthly conversation on climate change and action, led by the children and youth in our community. This is Ours to Protect on KCLR, brought to you by KCLR, the IBI, and funded by Commissioner Mann with a television licence fee.
Good evening, I'm Edwina Grace, and welcome to the penultimate programme in our series. This time we're focusing on travel and transport, as well as energy. We'll start with the queries from our young people on that topic.
My name is Sive. Have any big changes happened in Ireland because of climate change?
My name's Joe. Where does our electricity come from and is it good or bad for the planet?
My name's Emily. Due to increased weather events, what plans are there to upgrade the national grid?
My name is Caleb. Is there a way to stop using too much fossil fuels?
How can we give more energy to towns that need it more?
I want to know if electric cars are really better for the environment.
My name is Maggie. Why are electric cars and solar panels so expensive if the government wants us to have these but an average family couldn't afford that?
They've been sharing their own views with me on this.
Some electricity, like the water thing that like spins around, I say that's good. Solar panels are good as well. They don't like use any heat, they just like get the sun and everything.
And do you use a lot of electricity in your house?
Yes, for turning on lights, cooking. We have a gas oven as well.
Would you have a chat in the house about maybe not using as much electricity?
Yeah, maybe turn off the lights and like stop the water when you're brushing your teeth.
I have a family of seven, so it's like hard to like keep like all the lights off and like water like running because like there's so many people in the house. My mum's constantly reminding us to turn off the lights. If you don't turn off the lights, like it's just like wasting money. Like electricity bills, they're like going like up. If you have like sustainable power, like it's going to be easier for like bigger families.
There's some good electricity you can get from solar is renewable, same with like wind with turbines. People think they're too big and too close and very loud when you're trying to sleep at night.
You know, sometimes if you're like on a drive, you do see like there's these big factories and there's smoke coming out of them, but that can't be good for Ireland.
Maybe stop burning too much. Maybe make less power plants and more solar panels.
Some electricity is good and then others are bad. And then with people who might not want different types, some houses, a lot of people have been introducing solar panels because they save them money and they take rays from the sun that will create electricity instead of having to either burn fuel or do other harmful things to the atmosphere. And then there's also some other types of electricity. You could get hydroelectricity. Not everyone could get a washer wheel installed to their house, or some people, because solar panels are quite expensive, so it's not easy to get them either. But even if you were to get one or something, it could still help a bit.
Most of the alternative electricity sources are good, but I don't like wind farms because the ones that they want to put in are like ginormous.
You might think that, oh, I might now go and buy a wind turbine or I might go and buy some solar panels, but they cost a lot of money.
Our power went out and we had no power for breakfast or anything. When Storm Éowyn hit, there were so many elderly people in their houses with no power, no landlines to call anyone, and they couldn't charge their phones, and I think that could have been like really stressful for them.
If you had an electric car planning on going somewhere the next morning, or maybe there's an emergency and the power goes out, the car's not charging when you get up in the morning, that's a huge problem.
It is a huge problem, especially like because you know like those ones, there's a tower and then a wire, like even birds could go and chip something off, like bad for the bird, and also your electricity could go out and it's really bad, like if you can't fix it, like the cars can't charge everything, it's really bad, especially when the storms come.
People have gone really reliable on like technology, and if our power even goes out like that again, it's like harder. If you don't got cash or there's no electricity for it, your like phone or watch to work to like pay or your card.
A lot of people don't carry cash, and if that was to happen here, if you can't go to the bank, get cash out, like you can't go to shop, you just have to rely on others or what's in your house. We need to do something about it.
I think they're quite expensive, and when like we're trying to get people to have these and the people don't have the money, it's really hard.
I personally don't think that electric cars don't have a difference, because we've one at home. We were driving down to Kerry and we had to stop, and it wouldn't charge twice. Instead of it being a 2 or 3 hour drive, it ended up being 5, because sometimes it doesn't charge. Ireland does not have enough charging stations. We find that a really big problem.
We have an electric car as well, and we find it a lot cheaper than putting the diesel in. If we would charge it overnight, like it could get
get us 2-3 days, depending on the weather. Like, we could get more out of it, but there is not enough charging ports. That's one of our biggest fears. Like, I travel a lot for sport, and I'm always kind of thinking to myself, oh, we're kind of running out here. Where's the closest stop?
Electric cars are really expensive, and not everyone can afford them.
There should be more grants for the solar panels. They are quite expensive, but I think if you have them for a while, you will kind of get the money back from not having to pay for the electricity. If they make the grants a bit more, I think more people will be encouraged to get solar panels.
To give us an expert response on that, we're joined by Alex Hamilton, who's senior engineer with the Southeast Energy Agency. Alex, to our first question, where does electricity come from, and is it good or bad for the planet?
Oh, it's such a good question, and also it's a really important question, because every single one of us uses electricity in every building, in our homes, in our schools, at work. So it's really good that we understand where it's coming from. So electricity is an energy, but it's a secondary energy type, okay? So energy is this amazing thing that we can't create new energy, but we also can't destroy energy. Energy is always there. And what we need to do is we need to get that energy into the form of electricity, which is what we use then to watch our TVs and to charge our phones and stuff, okay? So we all need electricity. So electricity is a secondary energy source. And where we get it from here in Ireland is we convert primary energy sources in the form of heat energy or kinetic energy into electricity. And in Ireland, thermal energy comes from when we burn gas and when we burn oil and when we burn coal. We're still burning coal here in Ireland. About 2% of our electricity is still coming from coal this year. So when we burn those fuels, we get heat. And that heat is a heat energy or thermal energy, it's called, and then we convert that into electricity. We also get electricity from our renewable sources, so that's kinetic energy. So when we talk about wind energy or hydro or water energy, that's actually kinetic energy. So there's energy in the wind and there's energy in the water, and again, we can capture it and harvest it and convert it into electricity. So about 35% of our electricity comes at the moment from fossil fuels, that's our burning of our gas and our oil, and about 50-55% is at the moment is coming from our renewables in the form of wind and solar and hydro energy. And then we're getting our last 10 or 11% is actually coming from other countries. So we've got these big interconnectors. We get electricity from Scotland, we're getting it from Wales, and we're at the moment building a new interconnector into France. So these are all the different places in Ireland that we get electricity. The cleanest and best electricity that we have is the electricity we don't use. Okay, so it's really important that we understand where electricity is coming from, and then we understand where we're using it, and therefore how we can stop or how we can reduce using it, because that's actually the best way of saving our electricity.
Is there a way to stop using too many fossil fuels?
Yes, absolutely. So fossil fuels are, you know, our oils and our gas and our LPG, our coals, our peats, etc. That's fossil fuels. About 35% of our electricity at the moment is coming from burning of those fossil fuels. So we use fossil fuels in creating electricity. But in Ireland, we also use fossil fuels for heating our homes. So most of us will have gas fires or boilers or oil boilers. So we're heating our homes using fossil fuels. And the other way we use fossil fuels in Ireland is in our transport, in our petrol and diesel cars. The very first thing we need to know when we talk about how do we use less of anything is, well, how are we using it in the first place? So where do we use it? So those are the three places we're using it. Now I know where we're using it. Now we can talk about how we can reduce how we use it. In the form of heating our homes, can we use less heat in our homes? Absolutely. And I know people will laugh, but the very first thing is go and put on a jumper. You know, kids will be learning about Vikings in school and stuff. And Vikings wore big bear skins and big hats and stuff, okay? And that's because there was no central heating. There wasn't an oil boiler. Now, I'm not telling the kids to go off and put on their big bear skins, okay? But put on a jumper. If we're walking around in our houses in our shorts and t-shirts in the middle of winter, I would suggest that we're heating our houses too much. And that's wasting fossil fuels. So go and put on a jumper is the first thing. That's where we insulate our own bodies. We can also insulate our houses, okay? So I'm sure everybody and all the kids are hearing about insulating their houses and housing retrofits. So that's basically when we put a big bear skin or a big woolly jumper around our houses. Again, keep the heat in. So when we keep the heat into our houses and in our bodies, we keep warm. We don't need to heat the air so much, so we can use less of the oils and the gas and the fossil fuels. Then when we're talking about cars, that's the other place we use it. So cars, again, and I know it's very, very hard. I myself have to drive to work and would drop the kids to school in the car because, well, you know, when we live in a rural area or more rural area, you know, there's sometimes not alternatives. But just again, to have a little think, can you stop 5 minutes away from the school and walk the last 5 minutes? Then you don't get stuck in traffic. That's really bad. You know, we'll use more diesel getting stuck in traffic. So just having, you know, a little think about how are we using the cars, or how are we using our heat, or am I wearing a jumper? Starting to think about those kind of things will help us then understand how we could reduce the fossil fuels that we're using.
Is there a way we can get more energy to towns and countries that need it more?
Of course. So if you remember what I was saying earlier about the electricity, when we generate the electricity, it goes into what we call the grid. So wherever we create or generate the electricity, we then have to transport it across through the cables, basically, of the grid into the houses and into the communities and the schools where we need it. If we want to, you know, bring it to our own communities and towns, we want to generate it as locally as possible. So every building, every home could have photovoltaics or PV panels on the roof to create electricity. Every school, and in fact the Department of Education has a school's PV program running for the last couple of years, where every school in the country that wants it can get PV. So that program is going. And again, what that does is it shows the community. The school is very much a school, is the heart of the community. And here's a school, here's PV on the roof. Every house or every community building could have PV. Create and generate your own electricity. So when we talk about, you know, our own local communities, we want to generate our energy as locally as possible. And that's one of the options that we can do it. Every building could have PV on their roofs, for example.
Due to the increase in weather events, what plans are there to upgrade the energy grid? We've heard from a lot of our children about concerns around outages and how we're so dependent on technology.
Again, another really important question. The kids have good questions. They know what's going on here. And absolutely, I think everybody remembers, was it Storm Eowyn in February, where a lot of the country, if not everybody, lost electricity for some point in time. There were parts of the country that had no electricity for weeks. But I'm no grid expert. But in terms of when we talk about making the grid more resilient, and again, I'm using that term, the grid, we're talking about how do we make it more resilient in how we generate the electricity. But in this case, now we're talking about, well, how do we make it more resilient to make sure that we can get the electricity to those homes and schools? Because that's what happened there in February, when we talk about climate change and the big storms, what is happening basically is the cables are being knocked out. So the poles are falling down. So when we talk about the resilience of the grid, that's what we're talking about in this case. So there's no problem during big storms in generating the electricity. The issue is getting the electricity to where we need it. You know, Airgrid are the company that manage the grid. They do have a winter resilience program, it's called, and that's where they're going around, obviously, repairing all of the poles, repairing the overhead cables, also the vegetation. So when you've got trees and bushes around the cables and around the poles, you know, and then in a big storm, they're getting knocked down, and that's what's taking out the cables. So I do know that Airgrid have the winter resilience program, and they're going around repairing those.
Alex, I know you're with the South East Energy Agency, and I know there's lots of grants available, but a lot of our young people are asking, why are electric cars and solar panels so expensive?
I will start by saying that photovoltaics or the PV solar panels are actually not that expensive. So there's really good grants out there for PV, and the price of PV has really come down a lot. You know, I've been in this game 10, 15 years, and 15 years ago, we weren't really recommending photovoltaics or PV panels on the roof because the cost of them was high, but also the cost of electricity was very low 15 years ago compared to what we're paying now. So now when you look at PV, and I'll give you a really great example, one of my own colleagues in the energy agency put 5 kilowatts of PV on his home this time last year, and we've just finished the analysis of it. Cost €7,500, and he got €1,800 of a grant back. So he paid just over €5,500. In the last 12 months, he has saved €1,100 off his energy bill. So he's going to have those PV panels paid in less than 5 years. He was actually getting €30 credit over the summer, and now his energy bill over the winter, it was €40. Okay, so I know how much we're all paying for electricity, and when you talk about figures like that. So for me, PV panels are not expensive, and it's a really good payback, and you're going to be making your money back. Electric vehicles are slightly different, but again, what we want to look at is what are we comparing? When you go into a car dealership and you're going to buy a brand new electric vehicle, yes, the investment is high, It is. Again, there are some grants and tariffs and relief subsidies for those. But, you know, when you compare a brand new electric vehicle with, let's say, a second-hand car, then absolutely there is a big cost difference. When you compare brand new with brand new, it is still higher. But in general, most of us are buying second-hand cars, so then the difference is even bigger. So when we look at EVs, what we want to look at is what we call the life cycle cost. So your initial investment is much higher. The SEI actually have a really good EV calculator where you can compare like with like. And when you look at having an electric car for 5 to 10 years and what you're paying in terms of your costs for fueling, for charging the car versus your petrol and diesel costs, and what you're paying in less tax and insurance details for your electric vehicle. So when you look at it over a 5 or 10 year period, then the electric car is actually coming out cheaper. So the SEI have a really good calculator for anybody who wants to go onto their website, and you can compare petrol, diesel and electric cars.
Have any big changes happened in Ireland due to climate change? One of our young people was telling us about seeing smoke still from large factories.
This question gives me the heebie-jeebies. I think when we look around ourselves and start asking what everybody else is doing and are there big changes elsewhere, we forget to take responsibility and look at what we ourselves can do. So I know I get all of the time questions like, well, why should I turn off my lights when there's a big data center guzzling the electricity over there? Or why should I put my jumper on or reduce my heat to 19 degrees when there's big smoke coming out of the factory? So these are good questions to ask, but I think we also have to remember, well, actually every one of us has a responsibility. So when we talk about big changes, yes, big changes are happening and they are needed. But more importantly are all the hundreds and millions of small changes that every single one of us can make. All of those little changes adds up to the big changes. In terms of the smoke coming out of factories, you know, I certainly hope that we're not seeing smoke coming out of factories. I would guess that it's probably steam. There are factories and industries that are using steam as a energy generating. So it's probably steam coming out of these as opposed to smoke from burning our fossil fuels. But the big changes absolutely are happening. I mean, we have very ambitious targets. When we look at, again, the types of fuels that we're using now compared to 1990, which is when the climate action and climate change really started to take effect, the big changes are over 50% of our electricity now is coming from renewables. That wasn't happening 10 or 15 years ago or 20 years ago. So yes, there are many, many big changes. The government has very ambitious targets that we are all meeting. So there's definitely changes happening. But always remember, what are the small changes that every single one of us can make?
Thanks to Alex Hamilton from the Southeast Energy Agency there. Now we've heard about energy in all its forms. Let's look at travel and transport and hear the questions.
My name's Adam. How much will hydrogen cars help compared to electric and hybrid cars in the future?
My name is Lainey. Does flying in airplanes affect climate change?
My name is Ben. Should people be only limited to a couple flights abroad each year?
My name is Owen. Do you think that private jets should be banned for big celebrities and influencers?
My name is Ava Tracy. Rural parts have few buses or trains. How can people here help the planet if there's no good public transport?
Naturally, our young people have their own opinions on this.
If you're retired, if people have a load of money, they'd go on more flights. Probably should be only limited to a couple. Ferries are kind of better for the environment.
When they're up in the sky, they produce like loads of fuels out of like the airplane, but I love going on holidays.
And would you ever think of maybe taking a ferry? Or
I doubt, because it's like longer. Like say you're going to like France, it would be like 19 hours or a day, or like instead if you're on a flight it only takes like 2.5 or 3 hours.
The planes are bad for the environment because there's over, I'd say, 100 planes flying every minute. Rather than boats, there might only be maybe 50.
What kind of conversation would you have in your household if you were due to go somewhere?
We'd probably choose a flight because my two brothers always get seasick.
Planes are bad because they have huge engines and they let out a load of fuel, and then because planes get really close to the atmosphere, they can affect it. They're a lot bigger than car engines. They'll also let out more than a car will in 2 hours, for example. Maybe try not use planes as much and try like use other ways of travel.
I would prefer flying in the plane. I know it's like not the best for the environment, but it would be a lot faster, but my sister would hate it.
Say that you're going to like Spain or Paris or somewhere like that. It could take like 2.5 hours, but like that could like really affect like the planet. Like
a famous musician and songwriter has a private jet. She's having over 100 flights, including flights from city to city, which are completely unneeded. It is absolutely ridiculous the amount of CO2 that's being released, and with all these efforts to try cut down on it, but things like this, they're just making everything else obsolete. It's unbelievable.
And I know there are different schemes whereby people who have private jets gives a lot to charity to offset carbon footprint. There are other schemes that you can do if you're flying on a regular airplane that you can do the same. But do you think enough has been done?
But I definitely think there should be rules and laws in place of how much you're allowed to produce. It is good that she's given to charity, but it still doesn't negate the fact that it is still so much CO2 being released into the atmosphere.
We drive cars every day and day and night, and can often release awful fumes in the atmosphere. So I would probably suggest that people should start to go on for more walks and exercise more, and also use different things like bikes, buses, or trains, so that it'll help our environment and our air quality be better. They should probably use some vehicles that are not releasing fumes in the atmosphere, but also electric ones, but some of them are very expensive.
If we got a bus from Winegap to Kilkenny, a lot of people don't drive because it's easier and just walk down, get the bus. We need a bus out to our school. Is that fair? Because like we have to walk or drive.
People in schools have been trying like to make a difference and make a change. We do this thing on Wednesdays, Katie and Nikosa, where we meet at like 10 to 9 and then we walk to school. Some people, you know, they take the bus, they're like, they can't get there, but like it's good to see the people try to just get there.
I always skate to school. I think that's a great idea because like a lot of people actually have stopped going in the car, they just pack up there and then they walk to school. So that's like, I love how they're doing that because it's really good and everybody's walking together and then you can walk with your friends up to school.
Does the rain or the wind or the snow put you off scootering? Or
no, even if it's rain, because I would just go fast.
Well, I think it's a good idea to do, Katie Nikosa, because usually I would just drive to school, but if you were to do Katie Nikosa, you could like stop off, like if your parents had to run in and get something, but then you could walk to school, you could walk with your friends.
And how safe are our local roads, do you think, to school for people who are cycling or walking or scootering? Or
I think they're pretty safe.
A lot of people do live like near enough to school but not near enough to walk or to cycle, so it's good to even walk half of the way because it's better than driving all of the way. There are paths and traffic lights, so I think it's safe.
When I walk to school, it's incredibly dangerous. I have to walk with my little brother. It's really scary. Cars are driving as fast as they want. They're not looking up. They don't care. And we're trying to cross the road, so I find it very difficult to try. Maybe even traffic lights, some sort of way, like someone helping you cross, anything like.
Doing Katie Nikosa is like very safe because we do use high vises and stuff where we cross. It's like a pedestrian crossing, so like they would have to stop at the light, and it's not like a far location from the schools, and you get to like walk with your friends and it'll be like very fun.
Padraig O'Gorman is with Carlow County Council, where his Director of Services portfolio includes transportation, environment and climate action. Does he think we should have more buses and trains serving rural areas, and would an increase in these services be feasible?
Yeah, a lot of work has been done in this area, Edwina, over the last few years. It was a programme that was brought in and expanded greatly in the last programme for government. So you will have seen a great increase in uptake in the local link service throughout the county. So I would say there's probably 6 or 7 new routes that have been set up. So there's a couple down south, you know, that can head down to New Ross, and you can even connect at New Ross and get to Waterford General Hospital for an appointment and back. There's another one over to Kilkenny, a route heading north out to Atai, and another one from Arklow coming right across, stopping in Tullow and into Carlow. When you get into Carlow at the coach park, you're basically into a intercity, Dublin, you know, Waterford, etc. The train service is probably a little bit more difficult because the infrastructure that it requires, but again, there are plans to introduce a second rail line beside the existing one, so that would greatly increase the potential for the services. So at the moment, if there's a train going north, the train coming south has to wait until the northern train has gone by because they're using the one track. So if you had dual lines, obviously the frequency then can greatly increase because one train is not having to wait for the other one to have passed. That would be a fabulous development, and I know it's in this current national development plan to upgrade that link mainly between Dublin and Waterford. Anyone in Carlow train station, either in the evening or in the morning, it's an absolute hive of activity. If you're there and the train comes in, it's full, and then equally there's as many people waiting to get on the train to go out. So it's a great service here in the county. It's a great way to travel, and also I suppose if you look at the cost of motoring now and the cost of parking in particular, and even maybe the availability of parking depending on where you're going, you can see that there's a great increase in the usage. And I think another factor has been the decrease in the charges. And especially for rail services, you will be pleasantly surprised if you actually go to rail, or if you're in Dublin and you're going from one end of the city to another, or even just out to some of the suburbs, or out to like a minute or whatever. It's a couple of euros. It's very, very cheap. And then there's great discounts and that with leap cards and that for the under 25. So overall, it's an area that there's been huge progress on the quality and frequency of the services, but also then on the actual charges that are applied to the public for use of those services.
Another mode of transport that we've been hearing our young people asking about is flying. And in particular, the questions, does flying affect climate change? Should we be encouraged to limit the number of flights that people take each year? And should private jets be banned, in particular for celebrities and influencers?
It's a really interesting one. The first question I would say is they are a high emitter of CO2. Also, I would say, can you imagine how would we get around the world or around if we couldn't use jets? The speed, the convenience of them, the numbers that are going through the country, also the huge economic driver that they are. Like if you just don't have them, and the frequency and the quality of those services, a lot of the investment we have is because of that infrastructure. I would like to think there's a potential somewhere that they could be run on maybe non-fossil fuel or high aviation fuel. For instance, here in Ireland, now we're looking at the whole area of HVO, hydrated vegetable oil. In Carlow County Council, we've converted our first 5 or 6 vehicles to it. It's 90% more CO2 efficient than fossil fuel. It's maybe about 8-10% more expensive. I'm not saying, because I don't know whether planes can fly on HVO, but I'm surely thinking it can be developed, or maybe there's something can add it to it to give it the power that it needs so that it can be worked on. So I'd like to think that there's research being done on that and that there's an innovative solution. I personally wouldn't necessarily think electric planes is something that you'd like to be up in or anything like that. So I don't see a solution there. But I would think that they should be able to find an alternative to the high emitting aviation fuel that's currently used.
For the celebrities or the influencers that tend to use flights more often to get from gig to gig, there are methods in place by which you can donate to charity that will offset your carbon footprint.
Yeah, so look, at their high end business class or private usage, I think it's a bit maybe just like the way our own road structure kind of works. If you have a small car, you pay a small fee. If you have a big car that's whatever, you pay a high fee. And I think something similar maybe is applicable there. Well, you know, they are paying high rates for what they use, but I don't think they should be restricted, but certainly they should well pay their way.
Talk me through the overview as to how people can best get to, from, around Carlow sustainably.
We've spoken about the increased bus services, we've the increased train services, and obviously then there's also the active travel infrastructure that's going in. So about 5-6 years ago, again, the government brought in active travel program where every county has an allocation. We've been very busy fully spending that allocation, which is about 3 million euros for Carlow per year. It's mainly an urban type of initiative because that's where the return is. But you will see where we've plans to have an active travel link right around the whole of Carlow town that you'll be able to say get in at the college or Tyndale College, university, either by walking or cycling the whole way around town. And then we are looking at how the bigger picture would be there's a national cycling route whereby if you were between the large villages and towns, how that might look, how that might be implemented. But that's still at a sort of high level stage, but there is an actual national cycling plan that basically if you wanted to be able to cycle throughout the country, that infrastructure would be there.
Carlow, of course, selected as a pilot site for a mobility hub under the government's Climate Action Fund.
Yeah, so this is a really interesting initiative. So the Department of Transport are running a pilot where they will be submitting a business case to the Climate Action Fund for 5 pilot sites. Carlow made an application and we were lucky to be awarded one of the 5 sites. So what does a mobility hub look like? So it will have 42 points throughout the town. Some will have more services than the other, but we generally, the large ones will have about 4 different modes of transport. So there'll be e-bikes, e-scooters, car sharing, and some EV capacity. So there'll be probably maybe 10 or 15 of those. And the remainder then will be smaller points of connectability. They would all have e-bikes and e-scooters. So in total, I think we'll have about 42 points. We're finalising the detail on that. We'd hope to get that done over the next couple of weeks. We then will need to do a statutory planning approval of those sites. Pending approval of that, we would then procure the actual infrastructure infrastructure that would need to enable that to happen. And then there's the operators of the services. They'd have to be procured and brought on site. All going well, we'd be hoping the application can go to the Climate Action Fund next year, and that works could commence in later 2026 for the each of the five different pilots throughout the country.
Would there be a central focal point for that?
I think the coach park would probably be the centre, because again, that adds other connectivity with the buses. Also the train station, because it adds connectivity with the trains. But then it's the main points would be with all of the services would be more town centre, and then as you go further out into the town suburbs, there'd be the smaller points all connecting into an overall, as I say, 42 points within the mobility hub. It's first time this has kind of been looked at or tried in Ireland. There's really, really good models in Europe, in Bremen, in Berlin. And we've seen the case studies and the outputs from those. And it's down to usage. The whole thing, if you take it, it's the modal shift. It's not that we're wanting to substitute the car, but we're looking at, can we provide an alternative that will allow people to use a different mode of transport? A lot of it can also help with activity and, you know, your health as well. Obviously, some of our weather doesn't always suit walking, cycling, but it's to provide the alternative, to provide the infrastructure, and it has to be safe. It has to be that people are not worried about walking, not worried about cycling, that they don't have to necessarily dress up in high-vis gear all of the time. So that's important. You know, our roads are overloaded, our towns are overloaded. That's going to continue more and more as our population increases, and it is increasing at a very steady pace. So it's how we can look at these other things that we know are working elsewhere and make use of them.
We mentioned the weather. It's not always great. Walking or cycling, you might be put off, but the bus is a good way of getting around. And you guys have seen quite a success with the town bus.
It's been phenomenal, and from what I understand, it's been one of the most successful town bus services that have been established. So it started in July of 2023, so we've 2 years of running. There's two routes, one north to south in the town and the other east to west. And the numbers now are really substantial. After the first year of full usage, there was 387,000 users, and that has slightly increased in year two to where we've broken the 400,000 number. So fantastic usage, great service. It also scored the highest in the customer satisfaction with the NTA on their town service route. So that's looking at things like consistency, being on time, cleanliness, punctuality, and the convenience of the actual stops and routes. It's rated somewhere in the 90%, so a really, really high satisfaction rate there. We have 2 years of it now under our belts. So we are looking at how we might tweak the existing routes, because there are a couple of areas that are still not serviced. And also the possibility, and we'll be discussing this hopefully in the next little while with the National Transport Authority, around the possibility maybe of a third route. But it has been a phenomenal success story for Carlow since it has started. And you've, since the schools have come back to you, you just meet them every day now. And whether the bus is going up or down or left or right, it's full. A lot of usage. So yeah, really good success story and a fabulous piece of infrastructure that we have now here in Carlow.
And thanks to Padraig O'Gorman, their Director of Services at Carlow County Council. Earlier we heard from Alex Hamilton of the Southeast Energy Agency, and of course our young people from St. Bridget's National School in Bagnallstown, Bunskull Macaulay Rice in Callan, as well as School of the Holy Spirit and Girlschool Ossory in Kilkenny City. Some tips then from this evening's programme: be mindful of your electricity usage and look into alternative options. Consider the various transport offerings in your area. Check out grants that are available to help you go greener, and look at initiatives or campaigns already in your school, business or community that you could tie into. Join us on the last Thursday of October for the final instalment in this year's Ours to Protect series.
Ours to Protect is funded by Commission the Man with a television licence fee, and is in partnership between KCLR and the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland.